This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The New York Times singled out an unlikely video game a couple of years ago, calling it remarkable and giving it major attention. The game, Papo and Yo, was created by Montreal's Minority Media and inspired by the childhood relationship between its creative director and his alcoholic father. Papo and Yo and now Spirits of Spring, both created by Minority Media, are considered to be part of a growing trend in gaming that stresses empathy and learning about the emotional needs of game characters. Spirits of Spring, for example, focuses on the complexities involved in bullying. Kevin spoke with Rommel Romero earlier this week. He is Minority Media's Director of Social Media.
Rommel, tell us a bit about the background of Minority Media. How was the business created, and what are its core values?
Minority Media was created by our creative director, whose name is Vander Caballero. He spent several years working for a major game developer called Electronic Arts. He created some flagship games that are very popular in the industry nowadays. Some of these games are called Army of Two, FIFA, and Need for Speed. He also worked a lot on a number of violent games. And what happened was that he had this idea of creating a game that explored one of his childhood experiences, which was his relationship with his father, who was an alcoholic. By his experience, he knew that pitching that idea to a major video games developer, the idea would get refused, and that's what happened in his experience. Next, what he did was he left Electronic Arts, and he started that would explore human experiences in a different way. Minority's core values are emanated from our first game called Papo and Yo. As I said, the story of Vander's experience as a child with his father. So it's a story of a young boy who escapes into this imaginary world where he goes on a quest to try and help his best friend, who's a pink monster, a metaphor for his father, right, where he thinks that he can actually find a cure for his father's addiction. Our values grew out of that in the sense that it's a game that explores a difficult human experience through an imaginary setting. It's a game that aims to encourage us to develop more empathy towards experiences that we may or may not be familiar with. As we developed our second game, which is Spirits of Spring, we also went towards that, in the sense of exploring human experiences and trying to understand them from various perspectives. One of our main core values is empathy. The other one is curiosity and creativity. So what we mean by that is they might be perceived as very as catchphrases, but when we talk about creativity, we talk about exploring different approaches in creating games. That's what we're doing with our next game, which is Time Machine, where right now the story is not so much geared towards exploring a human experience in the sense of, like alcoholism or bullying. Just asking the question whether we can make an awesome science fiction adventure game without violent mechanics. That's where our value of curiosity and experimenting comes from. So we try to challenge the status quo in video games. In video games, the industry seems to be right now in the state where there's a certain tunnel vision where, when you're creating an action game, the assumption seems to be that there has to be violence, and we're there to ask the question, does it really have to be violence? Can we make fun adventure games where there's no violence and where there's no characters harming other characters? So, that's what we're trying to explore next. Empathy, nonviolence, creativity, humanity, in a sense it's just being human, exploring, what it is like to be human in a way.
How extensive is this trend in the development of video games that emphasize empathy, let's say across the business sector?
I would say right now we're at, in terms of, from a market perspective, I think it's a young market. About 3 months ago, there was actually this interesting article in Forbes titled, I think, Is There a Market for Empathy? Where, the writer basically was exploring different areas in which empathy might be an interesting and lucrative market, actually. It's an area where, you know, mostly young companies are exploring the possibility of offering products or services that cater to very human situations. You know, in the case of video games, games that explore the nature of several kinds of abusive relationships, games that explore war, but from the perspective of post-traumatic stress, for instance. Right now, you know, like in the last, I would say, 2 years, in video games more specifically, we've been seeing a lot more coverage in gaming news and more recently in more mainstream outlets as well that explore, you know, whether games are meant for more than just escape and entertainment.
The New York Times a couple of years ago brought pretty significant attention to the game Papo and Yo, and now newspapers across Canada are publishing stories about your work, the company that you work with. What has that been like for the minority media staff and developers?
You know, our first reaction is it's rewarding, you know, in the sense that it's true that gaming audiences do not read the New York Times, but the first time we appeared on the New York Times, it was one of the first times that a video game actually made it to the art section and made the cover of that section in the newspaper. And, you know, the idea that video games could be considered art by a mainstream news outlet was incredibly rewarding for us because, again, it comes back to asking that question of whether video games are more than just entertainment. As far as, you know, like the increasing attention from the media towards us is concerned, it's been rewarding, and it's been also, you know, we're grateful of how open the media have been actually towards what we're proposing in terms of entertainment and games, as much from the mainstream side as from the gaming side as well. We have had a couple of experiences in the gaming media where journalists have been, you know, a bit more judgmental, I guess, towards the kinds of video games that we're making, and it's, you know, we consider it's fine. Right now, I think in video games, we're at a time where we've reached, you know, technologically, we've reached a level where it's so advanced, but morally and psychologically and I mean, just human-wise, we're kind of not there yet, and we're trying to catch up, you know, like our intellectual maturity, we're trying to catch up with the technology and see what it is that we can do with the technology and what kind of stories we can tell. And we're pretty grateful that the media have been open to exploring these possibilities with us.
The creative directors of each of the games, Papo and Yo and Spirits of Spring, as you've mentioned, were personally related to the content in those games. Did the development of the games themselves have an impact on them in terms of their personal work on the traumas and things they experienced when they were younger?
Yes. In Vander's case for Papo and Yo, in his life, it came at a point where he was getting ready to close the loop on that personal story of his. And completing Papo and Yo was for him a way to get closure from that experience that he had gone through. For Ruben Farris, who was the creative director for Spirits of Spring, given that that particular game is based on his experience with bullying, but also our experiences as a team with that specific phenomenon, it also came to him as a way to get closure in a way, as in the sense that before we made that game, he used to have nightmares about his experiences being bullied when he was younger. And by the time we had finished the game, you know, those dreams had changed. That's what he told me, was that instead of feeling powerless in his dreams when he was facing the bullies, now in his dreams he was in a position where he was able to act in his dreams and take control of the situation and speak to the bullies and be able to understand that situation a bit better. So for him as well, this game came as a way to get closure from his experience as well.
Minority Media has also received feedback about how these games have positively impacted the lives of players. Can you give us just a brief sense of what you've heard?
It's a pretty wide range. It goes from very simple thank yous on social media to handwritten letters from fans who tell us very personal things about their relationship with a loved one, whether it's a romantic partner, a parent, a sibling, and how our game has affected the way that they see that situation for themselves. In one specific case, there's this young single father who wrote us an email saying that before he played the game, like until he played Papo and Yo, he hadn't realized what his child felt like when he screamed at his child. And as a result of that, he found the game so influential in changing that behavior that eventually he actually got one of the characters tattooed on his arm. He told us that that was a reminder to him of always be mindful of the behavior of his behavior towards his child, and how his behavior might influence the way his child grows up later on. So that was pretty cool as well.
Rommel Romero, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Rommel Romero is social media director at Minority Media. You can find Minority Media online at weareminority.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.